Chat with Zachy Bailey from Channel 9, who's going to give us all the latest news coming out of State of Origin 2. G'day, Zachy.
G'day, Jimmy. How are you?
Really well, mate. Excited after that performance. I want to know this. I haven't seen a charge sheet yet. Do we anticipate any charges? I'm still trying to work out what Nathan Cleary did wrong to Kalyn Ponga.
Yeah, they're not officially in yet. I think he will be in the clear. It was a solid hit. It was more the contact when he hit the ground rather than the contact of the tackle, I believe, that sent Kalyn Ponga off with a HIA. And, of course, it was his second in a couple of weeks, Ponga. So, look, I think for all the Blues fans tuning in, I think Cleary will be free to play in Game 3. And that's, I mean, given his performance last night, he's the most crucial player in that team. So if he was to be missing, it would be a huge blow. But I don't think there's any fears of that right now.
What was your take on the hit Murray Taulagi on Cam Murray early in the game?
Well, it's an interesting one because if Cam Murray isn't to return, you know, in that game, the Blues weren't going to be able to activate their 18th man due to HIA as a result of a reportable offence because he wasn't put on report. And some mates were thinking, you know, it's a key moment in an Origin. If you lose the back row and the play's big minutes, you've got Nicho Hynes as your 18th man. I know it's not a like-for-like, but, you know, they couldn't go back. We all saw the replays at home, if you were at home or in the stadium or whatnot, but the ref can't go back 5 minutes and go, hang on a minute, that was a reportable offence, and then bring Nicho Hynes in. So I'm not too sure. He might be charged moving forward, but it's more the fact that it would have been interesting in-game if Cam Murray couldn't return.
Well, can I challenge you on that? Because Ashley Klein, I don't know what the time elapsed was, but it was several minutes because we were wondering why Kalyn Ponga was asked to leave the field for an HIA. And at that point, he put Nathan Cleary on report. So there was the opportunity to go back. It would rely, I would think, on a tip from the senior review official, and that was Grant Atkins last night.
Yeah, totally. And the thing is, though, I mean, we didn't get to that point. Cam Murray returned. But again, if it's a close game and Murray's ruled out early, it's one of those conversations, you know, like group text I was in with mates, you know, lit up last night, you know, with that call. And I mean, there's plenty of calls last night, whether it was a sin bin, whether it was Kalyn Ponga's potential forward pass for the Felice Kaufusi try. They all had an impact, some far greater than others. But it's a great debate to have these conversations, I guess, after a huge win for the Blues. And the best news is we're off to a decider.
Can't wait for that. Can I ask you this, Zach? Has Brad Fittler answered any and all of his critics based on not just that they won, not just the magnitude of the victory, but how they won and how specific they were about exploiting what Queensland had done to them Game 1 and were continuing to do in Game 2?
Well, Brad Fittler spoke at the Blues team hotel this morning and he said, well, you know what, I made the changes, but the players justified them for me. And he said, if we have lost last night, he said, everyone would be calling me a dud and saying my selections are terrible. So he's putting it all back on the players and I guess the likes of Matt Burton in particular for a debutant or Jake Trbojevic, the player that was left out and it seems to be the heart and the soul of that side. They really, really stepped up. It was actually in that same interview this morning, Brad Fittler said, that's on him. He got it wrong, leaving Jake out for Game 1. So a rare admission there from the coach. I guess he has answered critics. It's twice he's done this, gone over to Perth after losing Game 1. And I guess he has. Yep.
Definitely. Do you get a sense that this is a pivotal moment for Nathan Cleary in his representative career? If they pick an Australian side, he's clearly the number 7. And it may well be, I know we talk about dynasty and all that sort of thing, but he has literally a decade ahead of him where he can be the Blues' number 7, which is concerning for Queensland.
Yeah, the thing is, like the criticism after Game 1, they're always going to get stuck into the halfback. And I know some people thought, well, if that was Mitchell Pearce, for example, he may never play another Origin after that performance in Game 1. But I was like, I look back at it and I was like, I don't know if it was that bad. I know after speaking to Maroons players and people around camp in Game 1, their whole message was get to Nathan Cleary and put pressure on him. And again, Isaiah Yeo being, you know, hit early, whether he should have continued, that put Cleary off his game. I don't think Cleary was terrible in Game 1. I just think he was smothered. It was a great game plan from the Maroons. But in Game 2, when the Blues were on the front foot, his kicking game was brilliant. I think Matt Burton took a lot of pressure off him. being able to use his massive boot as well. Nathan Cleary, he doesn't... You know, I think the thing we've come to expect of him is such a high standard. So if he's slightly off, we're thinking, oh, you know what, Nathan's off here. And like I said, it's number seven in an Origin match. I think the criticism was always going to fall on his shoulders after game one. Was it completely warranted? No. Is the praise warranted after game two? 100%. 100%. Yeah. He was an absolute star for the Blues.
And the other thing about after game one, he immediately accepted all responsibility. So he took it all upon himself, which might have coloured the way people looked at his actual performance. Matty Burton comes in and plays superbly in his first Origin game, scores a try, some really difficult kicks that he put up, and overall an A-plus game. If Latrell Mitchell comes back and blows away Parramatta this week, what does Brad Fittler do?
Well, he's got a headache, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I know Latrell Mitchell reacted, I think, to a New South Wales Blues Instagram post last night saying, give him the number four and he's got it for Matt Burton. I don't think you can take Matt Burton out of that side. No way. No. The Panthers connection, the pressure he takes off Cleary with his kicking game, he just looks like he belongs there. He's a class player. With it all on the line as well. You know, it was a huge, huge game for him. Yes, the Blues were on the front foot late, but he didn't do a thing wrong. I dare say the player that's under most pressure in the centres has got to be Stephen Crichton. And that's a big call. I thought he should have started in game one ahead of Katoni Staggs. But it's going to be hard for Freddie to change that side from last night. But forget Latrell Mitchell. Where do you put Jack White into this side? And I think that's a bigger question because he was the Blues' best in game one. But does he come in and does he play right centre? Does he go to 14 on the bench? Or, you know, the hooking situation last night, we probably didn't need to see the best of it because the Blues were so far on the front foot. But if it's a tight game, that hooker combination and between Coruscant and Cook, that could be a game changer in a tight game in a decider. So I don't know what Freddie does, but he's got a headache. And again, there could be injuries between now and when the team's selected. But
yes.
I dare say Stephen Crichton's position is more under threat than Matt Burton.
I sat next to his partner, Leonie, on the flight on the way over, Stephen Crichton. His dad, Va'a, and mum, Sina, were a couple of rows of seats in front of us. So they've come over. Very exciting for them. And look, I think he'll be retained in the 13. There may well be an option for Jack White to go onto the bench in place of CSC for Talakai, but that would be the only one that I think might be for Brad Fittler and New South Wales. Clearly, the Felice Kafusi sin binning was the pivotal moment in the match. Clearly, there was a lot of talk from Brad Fittler about Ashley Klein and to Ashley Klein about that game one performance. After the match, Freddie said, well, that was justified, that sin binning. Are you of the same opinion?
Well, put it this way. Felice Kafusi knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was trying to slow down the play with the Blues charging towards the line. There'd been two repeat sets or six agains prior to that. Ashley Klein had just signalled for a third. I watched back the vision this morning. Felice Kafusi, from the moment he got his hands on Junior Bowler to the moment the penalty was blown and he was marched for 10, 7 seconds.
Ooh,
and he
wow.
was the third man into that tackle. Seven seconds, and he was the third man into that tackle. I'm sorry, Jimmy. Every NRL game, 100% sin bin. He knew what he was doing. I can live with it. I can see also how Maroons fans are blowing up. But he knew what he was doing. If you risk these things in Origin, you risk things in the big games and the big moments, sometimes it comes back to bite you, and that's just something I guess Kafusi and the Maroons have got to live with. Did it have the biggest influence than any other factor in last night's game? 100%. Like, it was a huge turning point. It was a massive moment. I even said this morning, I don't know if the Blues win. They definitely don't win that emphatically, but I don't know if the Blues win if that decision doesn't happen, purely because I thought the Maroons' goal line defence was brilliant up until that point. I thought they were great in attack in terms of long-range tries. They looked more threatening, despite the Blues being on top, because of that, and they had those game breakers in Munster and Ponga doing their thing. So a huge decision, but I think Ashley Klein got it right.
Some great representative rugby league over the course of the weekend. The New South Women had a win on Friday night. The Kiwis, Samoa and PNG on Saturday. Did you have a favourite moment coming out of those games?
Can we go through all the moments, Jimmy? I love the cultural aspect. I was down there at the Captain's Run. the PNG, Fiji and Cook Islands on Friday morning at Campbelltown. But whether it's the Sipi Tau, the Haka, where it's the Nongal Muscle, but the Fijian hymn, whatever it is, that these cult, it's just, it's a different element to rugby league. They bring something else to rugby league. You know, Origin, this fierce battle between two states, but when it comes to family and culture, and you hear all these storylines, you know, Sania Taruva, Panthers junior coming through, loses his house a couple of years ago, sadly lost his mum in September last year, and comes out, he shines for them. Joey Manu, 404 record run meters. Like, there was the whole weekend was littered with great storylines. The big question, I guess, moving forward for the NRL is, what do they do with rep footy? Because this is the last time we have this Sunday Origin match moving forward. So I don't know if there's anything in terms of implant of whether they still have a break for a rep weekend or whatnot, but it has to remain somewhere in the footy calendar, and it can't just be every 12 months in the back end of the year test matches.
Yeah, totally agree. There's such an opportunity for growth across those. Taruva was incredible. And guess what? He's fourth best fullback option at the Penrith Panthers. So that's how strong their depth
unbelievable.
Is.
Unbelievable.
Hey, Zachy, great work, mate. Thank you. And we'll speak again next Monday.
Sounds good, Jimmy. Thank you, mate.